Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections on Jesus of the Gospels. In our last reflection, we concentrated on what is called the Annunciation. Annunciation of the birth of the Messiah, as well as the Annunciation of the birth of the forerunner, John. Today we are going to concentrate our attention on the meeting of the two mothers with their unborn children. The Messiah and the forerunner, both unborn, meet each other when their mothers meet and greet. And here, the RSV edition of the Bible gives a title, Mary Visits Elizabeth. That is what happens. But at the same time, there is more to it. It's not just a visit, a friendly visit of two persons. This visit is going to be a salvific event. Maybe the very first act of redemption, act of salvation, performed by the yet unborn Savior. Let us first read the passage and make our reflections on it. It's given in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the description of the visit. Immediately after, Mary said, "Let it be done to me according to your word," as a response to the message conveyed to her from God through angel Gabriel. Luke tells us that she stood up and went in a haste to the hill country of Judea, to a town which he doesn't mention. Luke doesn't say exactly when she started and how she went, how long it took for her to reach this particular town. Not even the name of the town is given. Luke presupposes that the readers know what the town is. And we know the town is called Ain Karim, a town about 7 kilometers southwest of Jerusalem, about 130 kilometers south of Nazareth. It's a journey of about 3 to 4 days if you walk continuously, passing through hills and valleys and crossing the River Jordan twice. It's an assiduous journey. And we don't know how she made this journey, with whom she went. We know that the girl who said, "Let it be done to me according to your word," should have been about 13 or 14 years. That is the normal age of betrothal. So such a girl making such a long journey, probably not alone, maybe with a caravan group, or a group of pilgrims who are making a journey to Jerusalem. Luke doesn't point out the details. What is important is that this girl went, and went with a haste. There's something of an urgency in that. Why is Mary rushing to such a distant village? What is the purpose of this rush, this haste, this journey? We are used to the interpretation, explanation that Mary went to assist, to help, to render her services to the old cousin who was pregnant. 6 months old. That's what the angel said. But what kind of a service could do such a girl, an inexperienced young girl of 14? What is she going to do to an old cousin of hers? And we should presume that Elizabeth was not alone at home. There would be people already to help her. It's not any kind of physical, menial service that Mary is going to render to this old cousin of hers. Then what? Is it just a friendly visit? Why in such a rush, such a haste? Or, as someone would say, was it a kind of asking for counsel from this elderly person who herself had gone through a similar experience of conceiving a child with the special intervention of God? Or was it to gain some proof that what the angel said to her would be realized, that the pregnancy of Elizabeth was given as a sign? Is it to verify that sign that Mary went? We don't think so. She did not need any verification. She did not, in fact, ask for a sign either. Then what is the purpose of this visit? What is the purpose of this haste? Luke does not tell us immediately. But as things evolve, as the story evolves, we know what was the purpose of this visit. It was not just a friendly visit. It was not just seeking signs. It was not rendering some physical services to an elderly person. It is something more. And that something more is what is of importance for us as far as our story of Jesus is concerned. Now let us see what happens when Mary comes to Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. There it begins. The presence of Mary is somehow recognized by the unborn child. The presence of not only Mary, the presence of the Savior whom Mary is carrying. That is the important thing. Now Mary comes with the Savior. Mary comes as the carrier, as the vehicle, as the Christopher, the one who carries in herself the Savior. Though yet unborn, this child is Savior. And in his presence, the other unborn child recognizes the mission he is entrusted to, recognize the presence of his Lord. And the child in the womb leaps for joy. That's how Elizabeth interprets it later. As an important insight, Luke gives into the life of the unborn child. In Mary, the child has just started to grow. In Elizabeth, it might be 6 or 7 months, yet unborn. There are people who think that the unborn child in the womb is not a person at all. You could do it, they say, as you please. You can abort it. You can make it an object of your examination, scientific research. You can use the parts of this unborn child for medical purposes, for cloning, whatever you want. So the unborn child is considered as a thing today in the so-called developed society. People who think that we have come up age, we are a mature society. But here, 2,000 years ago, the evangelist Luke tells us that these two unborn children are persons. They are not just things. They are persons in the process of growth, of course. But these persons recognize each other. And now, honest doctors and scientists will say the child, the unborn child in the womb, is capable of feeling or capable of knowing this person. Only needs the facilities, only needs the time to come out and express. So the unborn children meet and greet each other. Another important insight Luke gives us is Mary is present here with Jesus in her womb. The presence of Mary somehow brings the presence of Jesus. Mary is not just an empty person, not just a human person alone. As such, Mary will have no other importance than any other person. But as the carrier, as the one who carries in her womb Jesus, the Savior, Mary becomes an important channel of salvation. So here, we see the beginning of the salvific action of the Savior. The work begins already before he was born. Already in the womb of the mother, Jesus is presented as Savior. The very name we saw, name Jesus, means Savior. And that saving activity is already beginning here. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only that, the child leaped for joy, but Elizabeth herself was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who came upon Mary and overshadowed, and by whose work the child was born in her womb, is now filling Elizabeth. Mary's presence with the child brings the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Later on, we will know that after the resurrection, on the day of the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon the group of disciples where Mary is present. Luke will take special care to say that Mary was with them, waiting for the coming of the Spirit. Now the Spirit comes already on Elizabeth. It was already said in the Annunciation to Zechariah that the child will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 1, verse 15, we read, "Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit that fills Elizabeth now fills also the unborn child, John. So the presence of Mary, the visit of Mary, brings joy, happiness, and Holy Spirit. And now filled with the Holy Spirit, what does Elizabeth do? She becomes a prophetess. She exclaims with a loud cry, an explosion of joy, happiness, thankfulness. And in this happy mood, joyful mood, she is blessing. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Mary is called blessed. Mary is called the object of special blessing by God. She has been blessed, and she becomes a source of blessing. As it was said of Abraham, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Abraham was a source of blessing. "I'll bless you and bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you." Abraham was blessed. Abraham became a source of blessing. So in a similar way, here Mary is blessed by God, and Mary becomes a source of blessing because she carries the very source of God's blessing, God himself. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." This is a prayer the Catholic Church very often repeatedly prays. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And the prayer continues to say, "Jesus." So this prayer is the combination of two annunciations. The first part by the angel, and the second part by Elizabeth. Totally biblical. So we cannot complain, and we do not understand why some people have such an allergy against this prayer, "Hail Mary." Some would accuse the Catholics of Mariolatry, as they are worshipping Mary. Nothing at all. Catholics worship only God, and Son of God made man, Jesus. Mary is not worshipped, but Mary is honored. Honored as the Blessed One. Honored as the specially chosen one. The one who is specially chosen to be the mother of the Savior. Now Elizabeth continues, "And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" The mother of my Lord. The word Lord is an important word. We know in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14, 15, where God revealed his name, the unspeakable name Yahweh. And the Jews, out of respect for the sacred name of God, then would never pronounce this name. When they saw the four letters, they would say Adonai, meaning my Lord. That's what the Jews would call God, Lord. In most of the English translations of the Bible, Yahweh is translated as Lord. Lord is the qualification name of God. And now Elizabeth tells the mother of my Lord, the child yet unborn is recognized as God and Lord. That's what later on St. Thomas would say, the apostle, my Lord and my God. So Elizabeth in somehow anticipates the faith of the church, telling the mother of my Lord. So the dignity of Mary is expressed here. Why she is blessed? Why Elizabeth is blessing Mary? Because she is the mother of the Lord. And that's why Catholics and all those who believe in the Bible praise her, bless her, honor her as the mother of the Lord. And Elizabeth considers it is a great privilege that this wonderful mother has come to her. Not just as her cousin, not to render some menial service, not to verify a sign. Mary came as the mother of the Lord. And this coming was salvific. Elizabeth understood the meaning of her presence. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she is speaking as if by inspiration, as if as a prophet. She continues to say, as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. The visit was bringing joy. The visit was bringing Jesus. The visit was bringing the Holy Spirit. And that's what Mary does always. Throughout the centuries, we hear about the visit of Mary in apparitions, in various places. Wherever she comes, she brings Jesus. Wherever she comes, she brings blessing. And what about us? Do our visit bring joy to people? Do our visit bring Jesus to the people whom we visit? Do our visit and greetings bring the Holy Spirit? We have to ask ourselves. We have to also ask Our Lady to bring Jesus to us. Mary brings Jesus. Mary is not the center. Mary is not the focus of attention. Attention is Jesus. But Jesus is being brought by Mary. It is Mary who received the word, first of all, in her womb, in her heart, and then in her womb. And this Mary who brought the word, she brought forth to life, to the earth. And through Mary, Jesus comes into this world. And through Mary, Jesus comes to address everyone. Now, Elizabeth continues to say one more thing. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken her by the Lord. What was spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. That is also the real reason of the blessedness. Two grounds. Mary is called blessed because she has been specially chosen by God. She has become the object of special love, election, choice for a particular purpose, to become the mother of the Son of God. At the same time, Mary is blessed because she believed. She believes in the impossible. She believes that God can become man, that the Word can become flesh, that a virgin can conceive without the intervention of a human being. Whatever is considered as impossible, Mary believes. The faith goes beyond the human possibilities. And Mary is presented as a blessed person because she has believed. And we know her faith will be tested. The very beginning was a real test. To accept this call unquestioningly, total surrender in faith. Mary said, let it be done to me according to your word. And then continues on this posture of obedience, this attitude of faith and obedience. And we'll see so many instances where this faith will be questioned and tested. From the Annunciation to the Resurrection, there will be so many instances. The birth in a manger, the death on a cross, and the burial, and everywhere, Mary remains as a believing person. She wouldn't go to visit the tomb. She doesn't need to see the empty tomb to believe that her son has risen. Mary is the one who believes. And Mary becomes a model disciple in this, that she believes and she obeys. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for choosing Mary to be the mother of your Son. Mary, a human being like us. We thank you for bringing Jesus into the world, into our lives, through her mediation. As Elizabeth was filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit, fill us also with joy in the presence of your word, of your Son. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we too, like Elizabeth, may exclaim, pray loudly, praising.